You did that differently today, and I didn't know you were going to do it the way you did it. But did y'all hear that? That y'all got the ball rolling for us today, and just kept thinking about all those kids. The Milwees introduced me to the CAC last year. And I remember one of the things that I heard about what they do is that some of these kids, the only thing that they can remember about their homes is their bedroom, because that's where the bad things happened. And so some of these volunteer teams, if I remember this correctly, if the child's going back to that same home, they go in and they redecorate the bedroom, repaint it, put new bedding, new toys. So these kids have a new start for something that's as elemental as the place that they sleep. So this is where the organization, as are all the organizations that we're representing on the first Sunday of each month. But it's important for us to look after, as I said earlier, in a different way, our most vulnerable. So thank you for opening our hearts, Billy. And Finn, dude, this was his first time to platform. And you just jumped in there like a champ. Thank you very much. Yeah, well, the bell thing, I mean, that was extraordinary. You know, the best laid plans that we have sometimes just go all to heck, don't they? One of the things that I really, really treasure is a quiet and or joyful Saturday evening before I come here on Sunday, because I like to have a nice, peaceful evening and a good night's sleep and then come in here. Well, that didn't happen last night. And on the way in today, I had to quit stomping my little foot because it was tough on my accelerator. But I had to have that drive here today, and I had to get with you guys. I had to listen to Kit, and I had to listen to Billy, and I had to see Finn's courage, and I had to hear Dorothy's words. I had to have all these things, because we need each other. We need each other. I always have people asking me, gee, how did you know to say what I needed to hear? And it's because we exchange with each other, whether you know it or not. Now, I am not a mind reader. I don't know all your secrets. You're safe. But I do know that usually if I'm feeling a need, or if I'm feeling that there are certain words that will help propel me along my path, there's a good chance that you need them too. And then you transmit that to me in that unspoken, mysterious God way that you do. And so we all grow together. I'm just the mouthpiece for it. We are starting a season that originated as a celebration and a ritual for the earth people. Some folks would call them pagans. And I think that's a term that's gotten such a bad connotation that I just call it the earth worship. And if you notice a lot of empty seats in here today, it's because many of our women are at the maiden mother crone retreat. That's pretty earth people talk right there. Maiden mother crone is, you know, the passages of life for a woman. And this season that we're in right now, this season of Lent, is a good opportunity for us to do something different. It's a good opportunity for us to examine what it is that's working and not working in our lives. And it's a very profound and deliberate season that we have. I mean, we are doing this all the time, but Lent reminds us that we could do it every single day. So I know one of our community members posted on Facebook that every day for the 40 days of Lent, find something you're no longer using in your home or no longer wearing and set it aside, and at the end of 40 days, go donate all that. So you could call it giving up something, but I call it taking on free space. Think of it that way. You're not giving things away. You're contributing, maybe, but you're taking on a place to breathe. So this month, as I teach this class, it's actually called How to Be an Adult, period. And the talk title today is The Spiritual Art of Growing Up, but I really should have called it The Spiritual Art of Adulting. I don't know where and when it was that adult went from nouning to verbing, but it's more like the spiritual art of adulting. Don't you dare grow up. Don't grow up. Because growing up implies that you maybe are too serious, that you can't play. Adulting gives you room to play. Becoming an adult gives you room to play. And no matter what your age is, it doesn't matter if you're in your 20s or in your 80s, we all have some adulting to do. And this is about discovering the things in us that are stuck, that are bitter, that are unforgiving, that are dry. Don't you love it when your spiritual life's going so great and you just feel all that juice of God flowing through you? And you really notice it when that's not happening, don't you? Yes, you do. Notice that, because I get phone calls when that's going on. So do you have some dry places in your life every now and then?
Yes.
Yeah. Come on, you guys. Work with me here. If y'all are all doing just great, then maybe we should. What do you think, Leah? Should we? No, don't skip the class. Okay, we won't skip the class. Because psychologically, we're always working through something. We just are. It's our nature. We have all these neural pathways in our brains that are sometimes ingrained so deeply that we don't even realize we're doing something as a habit and it no longer serves us. So we have to shift it, and this is a physiological thing. We make new neural pathways in our brains. It's like that thing, you know, if you do something for 21 days, it becomes the thing that you do. They're saying it's actually more like 90. Sorry. But I bet we could do anything for 90 days, couldn't we? So I'll talk to you before we're done today about some suggestions that I have for your adulting. But I'd like to get into first, Unity has put out a little book. This was in the newsletter that was posted this week on the website and on our resource page. There's this little booklet called Fasting and Feasting that was put out by Unity, and we'll have some copies of it in our bookstore. But what it does is work with the idea of denials and affirmations that we practice in Unity about this no longer has power over me, this is going to take its place instead. So it has things like tomorrow, I fast from insecurity, I feast on feeling confident. I fast from distraction, I feast on being fully present. Isn't that good? Wish I'd written that. I fast from loneliness, I feast on connection. That's for all of you who might be isolators, okay? Just saying. I fast from overreacting, I feast on responding thoughtfully. Well, I just opened that and randomly, and that one's for me, so there you go. Today's reading, suddenly, it is spring. After a long winter, short winter, it is good to witness the springtime pageant. Through the forests and meadows, across farms and gardens, spring has touched the earth with a gentle hand and warmed it with a sweet breath. New life is in evidence. Color has returned. The mountain laurels are blooming. That's not in here. Oh. If you want to smell nature, man. The pulse beat of people and nature is stronger, and everywhere men and women are taking up their daily tasks with lighter hearts. Walt Whitman refers to the ever-returning spring. I think he means not the annual occurrence of summer, winter, fall, spring, but rather the eternal evolving of that which is involved, the constancy of growth and renewal. Could it be that the season of growth is really the autumn, because behind the old leaf that falls, the new leaf is safely embedded? It is there even before that. The tree never really stops budding. Of course, we look for times of sowing and reaping in accordance with the earth's seasons. But within the apple pit is the image of the tree, the blossoms, and other pits. Naturally, we do not expect the apple first and the blossoms after, but we know for certain that both are there within that tiny pit. We know it only has to open its door. For every individual, just like the apple tree, divine inheritance is not something you have to attain, but a growth unfoldment to be awakened and released. This is truly what Easter is about. Thus, spring is not some set time on the calendar. It is the open door to the earth's inheritance, the everlasting yes to transcendent life. May this year's performance of spring work magic in your life, opening doors and windows of perception and experience. May you come to enjoy a greater awareness of the spring of life, which is progressively being awakened and released. And as spring happens in your garden, may Easter happen in your life. And that is from the book called Celebrate Yourself by Eric Butterworth. Yeah, we love Butterworth. So what we have to do is look at the difference between our human self and our spiritual self. One has a small S for self and the other one has a capital S for self. A human self is the body and the conditions and the life that we're living right now, the conditioned responses, the country we live in, the family environment we came out of, where we live now, our jobs, families, everything. Our spiritual self, with a capital S, is the one that's eternal, goes on and on forever and ever, and it is the deep, rich part of our connection with God. So our spiritual growth reveals to us the unresolved areas of our psychological health. And then working in the psychological modalities leads us into greater spiritual growth. So they are like this. This is the integration of our psychological work and our spiritual work. Are you with me so far? Not going over anybody's heads. Okay, so here's how the cycle usually happens. You have a great spiritual insight. You're like, oh, wow, that was great. That means so much to me. I really, really get it. I'm so happy to have broken through with this spiritual truth. And I can guarantee you that within 72 hours, I see nods of recognition already. Within 72 hours, something is going to jump up in your life that will challenge that euphoria. It will challenge that new truth. It will challenge who you thought you had become, because we are always becoming. And so, you know, it's like that old adage about be careful what you pray for. You'll get opportunities to practice it. And that's what this is all about. As we get a spiritual insight, it's going to reveal to us sometimes psychological areas where we're going, oh man, I thought I had that handled. Anybody ever said that? I thought I was over that. So what I'm going to describe to you is something in three-dimensional terms that's really multidimensional. Let's say you've got a vertical line that is one of your psychological challenges. Let's say it's anger, overreaction. Let's just go for that one since I outed myself on that already. So you make this first turn around looking at anger issues and you go, oh, wow, I see where that started. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, well, I don't have to do that anymore. That's great. Except your spiritual life keeps on going and you're going to bump into another point on that line, on that vertical line. That's a different area that has not yet been explored because it's an upward spiral, our spiritual life, and we're going to bang, and we've got unlimited number of vertical lines, don't we? So every time we hit it, yeah, we're going to handle it better than we did the last time. But we're also going to have to look at it through a different lens. So do not be discouraged when an issue you thought you had handled comes back up again. It just means now you have a different way to finesse that. You have a little more courage. You have a little more maturity. You have a little more wisdom. You can go, oh, yes, this is still an ongoing challenge in my life. And some of us have challenges that last a lifetime. There's nothing about the spiritual life that says, once you have entered your spiritual journey, you shall have no more challenges. Next week, we have our membership class. I'm joining Unity of Wimberley. Here's my signature. Yay! I will no longer have to worry about anything in my life because I have Unity of Wimberley at my back. Those of you who do decide to become members, full disclosure, you will have an opportunity to go, oh, wow, I just aligned myself with the community and I'm not a joiner. I don't know if I'm ready to take on the responsibility of being in community with all these other people. Yeah, you are. You're up to it. Let me tell you, whatever your heart song is, it will bug you until you answer it, until you're ready to sing it. That's what this is about. I was telling somebody earlier this week that I first came to Unity in June of 1987 at Unity of Arlington. And there was a legendary minister there named Linda Pendergrass. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, she would boot camp your behind right into your highest spiritual good. And I mean boot. Yes, I do. Planted firmly so that you would grow. She challenged every door you tried to escape through, she'd slam it shut. Every time you thought you weren't up to something, she would make you take care of it. Am I right? Yes. So she was my first spiritual teacher. Scared the crap out of me. She was so good. And she and one of her colleagues from seminary had come up with an idea for, it was a divine idea, for a group of 12 women praying together called Holy Women. And she wanted to start a Holy Women group in the church in Arlington. And she said, I don't know who's out there to lead it, but one of you is going to answer the call for that, and just let me know when you figured it out. So I'd been there since June, and in August, I went, I think it's me. I had never prayed out loud with anybody before. Never. And here I was, this newbie, walking in. Some people had been in Unity for years. Some of them were cradle Unity people, just like some of you. I said, yeah, I'll start this group. Oh, what have I done? And man, I was quaking. I was shy. I was spiritually insecure. I was psychologically insecure. I was only 32 years old and just thought, what am I doing? And do you know those 12 women came together? And they didn't care. They didn't care one bit that I was brand new, because they knew that I had come to that with some courage and sincerity, and we'd figure it out as we went along, and we were all going to support each other. None of us had ever done this before. And that group went on for years. It went on long after I left that church and went to seminary. So it was a major a milepost for me in my spiritual growth. It helped me know that I could overcome that fear and move into something else. And I have seen so many of you step up and say, yes, I think I'm ready for this. And do it anyway. That's the other thing about taking on your spiritual life and your spiritual journey. It does not make you immune from fear. It just gives you tools to do something in spite of your fear. Isn't that great? Because we would be stuck, and then we'd be stuck again, and we'd be stuck somewhere else. So I just want to call to your remembrance the life of one Jesus Christ. He walked out there and showed us how to do this. That's what we talk about in Unity. He was our way shower. That was the first time I'd ever heard that word. I went, now what kind of lingo is that? Way shower. Okay. I'll play along. But one of my colleagues when I taught in a Catholic school was a priest who talked about Jesus as a brother, like an intimate brother, like your best brother, like the very best brother in the whole world, who understood your journey and could pave the way for you. That changed everything. And so Jesus walked out there, and he managed to gather crowds of people in spite of the fact that he wasn't well received, as you know, every place that he went. He didn't duck his earthly responsibility to be a spiritual being. Do you get that? It goes the other way too. Your spiritual responsibility to be an earthly being. He didn't duck that, and he could have. Came from a little backwater town, little village. And he had the audacity to go out there and pray with people and teach them and break bread with them and tough love them and heal them and take times of rest when he needed it. And show them some pretty fancy miracles while he was doing it. transcending the laws, he had to get their attention. You know, maybe the reason we don't see walking on water kind of miracles anymore is because we're more ready to see the miracles of everyday life. But if you've never seen a miracle ever before in your life, walking on water would sure get your attention. Turning water to wine would get your attention. And even if these were metaphorical events, Jesus was out there showing people that there is more to life than you can see. There's more to life than you have known. There is more to life, and I'm going to tell you about it, even if it gets me in trouble, and it did. Even if it gets me killed, and it did. Even if I have to defy your belief and show up as energy, which he did. So, since Jesus told us that we would be able to do what he did and more, gosh, I guess we better be about it. So, let me give you just some suggestions about what you might want to do for your psycho-spiritual health. So, I want you to think of it as, if you want to give up stuff for Lent, that's fine. If you want to give up chocolate or social media. If you want to give up those things, that's fine. Do that. But I encourage you to try taking on something, like some kind of goal for a healthy mind, body, and spirit. Might be a 12-step group that you know you've been needing to go to just to investigate it, just for a look. It might be therapy that you know you've been putting off. It might be body work because your body is bothering you. It might be exercise. It might be journaling. Something that you're taking on to begin a deeper understanding of yourself and more well-being for yourself. It might be tithing. If you haven't been a tither, you might want to try it. Tithe means 10%. You might try tithing. Okay, y'all breathe. We've got a lot of tithers sitting out here right now. And I deliberately do not look at who does and who doesn't. I want you to know that. That's not part of my responsibility. But I do know, as your spiritual leader standing up here, that tithing is a healthy spiritual practice. And I'm here to tell you that the 90% that's left goes farther than your 100% that you held on to. That's the truth. That's your modern miracle right there. So you might want to take on kind words, kind thoughts, kind deeds. I borrowed that from Bohemian Rhapsody movie. Make your life richer in one way or another. Go to a museum. Go to a concert. Go listen to people singing beauty. Go see the art that people have done that brings beauty to the world. Take a day trip and go to the Blanton Museum in Austin if you haven't done that. And you will be lifted up because beauty lifts us up. Creativity lifts us up. And if you can't do that, make your own art. Examine and challenge what you've put off. And once again, I'll leave you with a suggestion that showed up on Facebook. 40 items out. 40 items out. Take on space. So we're going to talk about this as we go along. And I can tell you that on Wednesday nights, that's when the real work happens. Really, really, really. On Wednesday nights. Because we're going to be looking at things like, well, next week's talk. Called Fear, Anger, and Guilt. Oh, my. Because those are the three things that get us stuck, aren't they? Okay. Giving you a lot to chew on this morning. You doing okay? Still breathing? Like really breathing? Not just sustaining life, but actually invigorating your life. Before we pray, this is so funny. People sometimes don't like to do this. I just want you to look around the room, and I want you to see all these faces that you know and don't know. That means you have to move your head. Unless you've got some kind of special anatomy I can't figure out. Move your head and look around this room. I want you to remember that whether you know the people you're looking at or not, we're all in this together. We are all in this together. We're here to encourage each other with words and with silence, with prayer and with humor, with connection and with love, with encouragement, and cheering each other on. Is that okay with you? Yes. Would it be okay with you if your life got richer? Yes. Would it be okay with you if you were able to let go of some of the stuff you've been dragging around with you all these years?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good. We're off to a good start for Lent then. Let's pray. I would guess that sometime in the course of this morning, you've gotten a little nudge in one direction or another. A thought might have crossed your mind that you dismissed right away because you wondered what that was all about. I would even venture to guess that something came across your consciousness for which you said, oh man, I do not want to deal with that. And beloved, that is the thing that needs to be dealt with. Spirit has in mind and in heart for us only our highest good. There's no punishment. We do that to ourselves. There is the support of grace that comes from God, the support of enlightenment, the support of comfort, all of these things from Spirit. There is no challenge in your life that is greater than God. Not one challenge. So hold that little nudge in your heart. Shelter it like you would a small spark, a tiny flame. Shelter it. And know that the ever-living, ever-loving Spirit is right there with you. As close as your next breath. Larger than the universe. And yet holding you for your highest good. And if you feel yourself having fear, or you feel emotional, just breathe right into it. because the work has already begun. You are safe. And so for just a moment, in the silence here in this room with each other, let your heart say, "Yes, Spirit, I am willing. Yes, Spirit, I am willing." Breathe. And know that all that you need is already present. It will reveal itself to you exactly when you need it. There may not be anything to seek, but only to allow. So be at peace, be not afraid, and give thanks. Let go of that which troubles you. Just let it go. And say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." And so it is.